Well, good morning. It is an honor to be able to share with you this morning. The last time I was here, Dave and Mindy were in Israel. We had a snowstorm. There were like 30 people here. I'm like, thanks, Dave. But we had a very blessed time. So it really is awesome to see all of you again. I'm constantly amazed at, regardless of what church we go to, where we're able to share, we see family. We're family. You're family with our fellowship in Littleton. And whether you like it or not, I'm a brother. And you can't kick me out of the family. So it's just awesome. I've run into people of the last two services, last night and first service, some I hadn't seen for a while. And I'll just give you a quick testimony. I was telling Dave about this morning. There was a gentleman that, so Dave and I were both chaplains. At one point, we were chaplains with Denver Police. And I was doing a Bible study. One of my units was the officers out at the airport. I'd go out every Tuesday and do a Bible study out there in the chapel at the airport. And last night, this man comes up at the end of service, and he goes, I hate this question. We hate this question, pastors do. Do you remember me? My memory is this short. And I said, oh, from, and I mentioned a church that I used to go to, and he goes, no. Okay. He goes, I actually went to the Bible study you gave at the airport. I was stationed out at the airport. I'm a retired Denver officer. I'm like, oh, awesome. I didn't know you went to church here. This is great. This is your church. He goes, no. No, wait. He said, I just happened to come to church tonight for the first time. And they said, Lonnie, and I'm like, is that the Lonnie that taught out at the... And I'm like, this is awesome that God brought you here. Church, we're never at a place that God hasn't designed for us to be at. You're here this morning because you're supposed to be here for such a time as this. And whether you were coerced or you were dragged here or you were threatened, if you don't come here, guess what? There's consequences. I don't care. God knows. And God's got a message for you this morning. So let's open in prayer and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the things that you do. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, sometimes we forget and we make it common, and you're not common. You are our God. You are the creator of all things. You are the one that designed us and made us into your image. And so we give this time to you, Lord, and ask, Lord, for your presence here, that you give us eyes to see, that you give us ears to hear, a heart to receive from what you on what you would want us to receive today. And so we give you all the thanks and all the praise. Amen. We are seeing things in our culture right now. I know we can say this just about any time because over the past 5 years, we're seeing things we've never seen before. But what we are witnessing right now with what's going on at Asbury College with college-age kids, what's going on in other pockets. Cedarville is another Christian college where there's the kids are coming together and they're not only worshiping the Lord, they are also confessing sin. They are praying for one another. It's awesome what is going on. And God's moving. You've heard that already this morning. But I want you to think back when we were watching a Monday night game with the Buffalo Bills, and DeMar Hamlin died that night on the field. And where a few years prior to that, everybody wanted to go out and hang Tim Tebow for praying, all of a sudden, everybody is praying. We're seeing people who don't know Jesus that are praying. And me being the cynical person that I am, kind of sitting back just going, yeah, but who are you praying to? Okay, that's great, but who are you praying to? And the Lord's like, would you let me handle this? Do you mind? They're going to hear about me because of this. Because I'm going to use this young man. And I'm going to bring him back to life. And watch how I change things. And it has. It changed everything. There was more talk about prayer than we'd heard in forever. What's going on in Asbury and at Cedarville right now, some of the media is, I mean, everybody's having to cover this, and I mean it, some of them are having to cover this because it's an event. Not everybody wants to cover this. It just so happens, as you know, that the Jesus Revolution movie is coming out. Do you think God's doing something? I mean, I'm not the brightest, sharpest pencil. I am God's doing things. And so, where does he want to use us? Where does he want to send us in order to proclaim who he is? Now, the team just got back from Israel yesterday morning. I've been to Israel not as many times as your pastor, but I don't think Jesus was in Israel as often as... No, geez. I'm just joking. No, he was, just in case you're going, was Jesus there? Dada? No, he really was. Okay, but anyway, I just remember there's certain things that just get imprinted that you are able to see there. And everyone that goes can tell you, oh my gosh, here was my favorite place. But one of the things that I remember the very first time we went, and we were with Dave and Mindy, there were four churches, I think, that went together, is we were at the East Gate, and the steps, we were looking up because the East Gate's all walled in and everything, and the steps going up to the East Gate, and these steps were of different depths. So you go to the first step, and it may be like 15 inches in depth. And you go to the next step, and it's 30-some inches. And then 15, and then 30, et cetera, all the way up. And I remember our guide going, you know, because you're looking at this, you're going, okay, this is kind of unusual, but he says, you know why these steps are this way? He said, because the people, when they would walk up into the temple, they would stand on this step and they would speak a verse out of the book of Psalms. And then they'd move up to the next step and they would meditate on that verse. And then they'd speak another verse. And then they'd meditate on that verse. Can you imagine by the time you get up to where the temple is, you're so focused on the Lord, you're already prepared. Now, what that speaks of to me is, gosh, we don't have steps coming up into the sanctuary. It doesn't mean we can't be prepared, but are we? That's just a question I'm asking for myself as well. Or do we just look at worship and go, you know, it's another half hour of worship. It's the same that we do every Sunday, and it is what we do. And it's become so common for us that we've lost the meaning of what worship is. Now, here's the other thing. Before the people got to the steps going up to the temple, they would walk up to Jerusalem. And if you look in your Bibles, from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, the little subheading says Psalms of Ascent. And these psalms, which are actually songs, would be sung as you go up to Jerusalem, because you were going with a purpose. We were going to worship God. We were going to offer sacrifice to God, a sacrifice of worship. Okay, we are coming this morning to meet with the Creator of the universe. You didn't have to set an appointment. You don't have to have a badge. You don't have to have a passport. You don't have to have anything. You come in, and He's here to meet with you. But if our attention has come from worshiping God to just looking horizontal to go, who's here and how was the burrito today? Did you get your coffee? Because you know what? If we didn't have coffee, oh my gosh, we'd have this mass exodus of people leaving church. Well, I'm not going back there because they didn't put out the coffee today. We're so spoiled, aren't we? Oh, some of you are going, not me. We're so spoiled, aren't we? Yeah, we are. We are. And it's not that we don't want to make you comfortable. It's not that we don't want to serve you. Of course we do. But we don't want to stand in the way of worshiping the Lord. And so I'm going to tell you a story. Where our text is going to be this morning is in Isaiah chapter 6. So you can turn there. I want to read through the first 8 verses of chapter 6, and then I'm going to expound on these. I will tell you, and most of you that are familiar with Scripture know this, Isaiah is about to experience something that's going to blow his mind. So, Isaiah 6, verse 1. Isaiah writes, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it, so above the throne, above the Lord, stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 of the wings he covered his feet, with 2 of the wings he flew. And one cried to another, so we know there's more than one. And he said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, what am I doing here? This is a holy place. I'm seeing God high and lifted up. But look what he says, what Isaiah says. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Also, if that wasn't enough, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I went, you can send me. I'll go, Lord. Send me. Okay, so we are looking at this experience here. You know, as I told the previous service, this has got to be like Isaiah on acid going, what am I seeing here? Okay? Not that I've ever taken acid, but I'm just saying, this is so mind-blowing, isn't it? This vision that he has, that he's seeing right now. And guess what? He's writing here about King Uzziah. It's interesting that he's saying it's the year that King Uzziah died. Let me tell you something, why he's putting this in. Isaiah is basically saying, you know what? I'm grieving right now. I'm not in a good place right now. My friend Uzziah, whom I served, I was in his court. My friend has died. My king has died. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, Joey was talking about the grief share class. When you experience someone passing, someone dying, most of you have experienced that and realized the grief and where do I do with this? Where does it go? What category do I put this in? And you can be in this depression because of this grief. This is Uzziah right now. Or excuse me, this is Isaiah right now. And let me tell you something about Uzziah. You can read the story of Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26. It tells the story. And God was happy with Uzziah. He loved Uzziah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he was put in charge. I told the previous service, what would change if we put a teenager in charge of what's going on right now? Probably not much. Just saying. But this teenager is doing right in the sight of the Lord. He rules for, it says, for 52 years he rules. But something happens with Uzziah. He starts getting prideful. And so at one point, he wants to go to the temple, and he wants to burn incense to the Lord, and his priests don't get there. The only ones that can burn the incense are the priests, and they don't get there soon enough for him. So Uzziah's attitude is, I don't need these guys. You know what? You know who I am? I'm king. I'm good. I'll go in and burn it myself. And he goes in, and the scripture tells us over 80 priests descend upon this area where Uzziah's at, going, what are you doing? You do not do this. You don't belong here. How dare you? The Lord has set up an order here, and this isn't what you do. And of course, Uzziah's attitude is, I'm king. I can do whatever I want. And the scripture says that he begins to speak, or he begins to break out with leprosy on his forehead. And pretty soon his whole body is covered in leprosy. He ends up dying from this. So here's his buddy Isaiah, who's lost a friend, who's lost someone that I would imagine he's loved. And I think the reason that Isaiah writes this is because he's going, you know what? The last thing I would expect is to be ushered in to the presence of the Lord. And so we see him seeing the Lord on a throne, high and lifted up, it says. His train of his robe filled the temple. It changed Isaiah's world. It changed how Isaiah would worship the Lord from this point on. He'd not seen this before. Now, again, did you see anything different today when you came to worship the Lord? Because, and church, I'm not saying this to condemn anybody here, because I'm wrestling with this as well. But you know what I think has happened with us? Is things have become so common for us that we've lost the awe-ness, A-W-E, the awe-ness of God. When's the last time you and I were in awe of what God has done? Where you just stood back and went, wow, wow. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect to see that. Man, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. When was the last time that that happened with you and I? And yet, these aren't, you know, isolated events. I think God does this all the time. The point is that you and I are not looking at this. We're not looking for it. So I was looking in the thesaurus because I thought, okay, what other word besides awe-ness, which is a word, can we use? And here's what it gave me. Wonderment, astonishment, amazement, marvel, something more than we can emotionalize. In other words, it takes your breath away. You're in awe of what God has done. Think about this. When was the last time you were astonished by the Lord? And so, church, what I want to propose is that if that's something that we've lost or something that we're not looking for, how does that affect how you and I worship? If we don't see the glory of God and we don't realize that he's sitting on the throne and we see his glory and we know that he's sovereign because he's on the throne, Isaiah, it's very possible that at this point in time he's going, where was God in the midst of this? You ever ask that question? This took place. A loved one has passed and you go, where was God? How come he didn't answer my prayer? I think it's possible that Isaiah, that's exactly the state that he's in, and the Lord's now taking him going, I'm still on the throne. I'm still sovereign. And Isaiah is writing down what he's seeing. And look at verse 4. What Isaiah is experiencing right now, it's like the building was going to come down on us. This was amazing what we saw. What I saw. What I got a chance to witness. And the foundation of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, and the seraphim cried out. That's what he's talking about. In this thunderous voice, and they're crying out, holy. Now, the scripture doesn't say this, but let me just give you something to think about. As they're above the throne, and they're circling the throne, I picture them looking at one facet of the Lord going, holy. Oh my gosh, he's holy. Oh my gosh, he's holy. Holy. That every perspective that they're getting of God, all they can do is cry out, holy. Now, chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, we're told about some other creatures, not the seraphim. It could be cherubims. They're a different creature with different faces. Still six wings. And they're around the throne, and they're crying out the same thing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. But the picture is different in that the 24 elders are around the throne. And it says that they cast their crowns. Now that word for casting, it's a violent term, meaning they tossed their throne, their crowns at the throne, at the feet of the Lord. I look at this and think, you know what? This very well could be, are you kidding? Do you think I'm worthy to wear a crown? Thank you, Lord, for giving us crowns. This is yours. This is yours. It's not mine. Church, too many times we think this is about us, right? We think worship is supposed to entertain us. And so we've been exposed to worship where it's not looking up to see God on the throne. It's look at us and look at the lights. And look at the smoke on the stage. And look at the performance that we're doing. And did you notice what kind of tennis shoes and what kind of shoes I'm wearing? Did you notice how I look? Because it's always here. And what I want to share with you is Satan has been, since the beginning, since the garden, trying to take worship from the Lord. Hey, Eve, really? Did God really say? You think you don't need to pay attention. You don't need to worry about the worship. Look at that. And it was appealing to the eye. You know what? That's going to taste really good. And so you know what worship has been presented at in a lot of cases? It's appealing to the eye. Wow, did you hear that? Did you see that lead guitar player? Man, have you ever heard a drummer like that? Church, I'm saying this because I was at a church that was the case. People were coming because of the worship team. Now, God's word still went out, don't get me wrong. But that whole thing of, oh my gosh, I've never seen a guitar player like that. I've never experienced, like, this is a concert. You know of churches now where that's the case, where the enemy, again, is making it appealing to the eye, going, this tastes really good. This is really good. Don't look up. Please don't look up. Look here. Look horizontal. So we not only have the battle in the garden, but let's go further on at the Tower of Babel. What are they wanting to do? They want to bring the Lord down to their level. Us worship you here? No. What would happen? Think of the things we can, and even the Lord says that. There's nothing that they wouldn't be able to do. The worship is off of God. What about Moses going to Pharaoh? Here's the message, let my people go. So they can go to the wilderness and serve me, / worship me, offer sacrifice to me. It's over worship again. Luke chapter 4, Jesus going out into the wilderness and being tempted. What does Satan say? You know what? All of this, I can give to you. You don't have to go to the cross. I know what you came for. I'll give it to you, but you know what? Here's what it's going to cost you. You need to bow down and what? And do what? Worship. You need to worship me. This isn't about worshiping God. Church, that same enemy, that same temptation, that same battle is what you and I are facing today. If we don't examine ourselves and go, Am I coming to meet the Lord today? You know, I hope Pastor Dave has a good message today. Oh, he's got a guest speaker. You know, that short Hispanic guy. He's our brother, but... Guys, did we come to meet Jesus? I hope so, because he's here to meet you. And if there's any of you that don't know who he is, he's here. And he's waiting to meet. You don't have to go through any ritual or anything. It's you know what, Lord? Reveal yourself. You know what, Lord? I'm lost. Man, talk about Isaiah and him not knowing what to do. That's where I'm at this morning. I don't know what to do. I thought I'd try out church and see. That's good. Come on. Because I have forgiveness for you. You'll see me in a way you have not seen me. And so for Isaiah, he sees the Lord high and lifted up, and he sees the true king. He thought Uzziah was the king. And don't believe me, he's a prophet. I know he knows who God is. That's not the point. But had he lost perspective? And church, that's the same thing. Have we lost perspective? Did we forget what this is about? Because look what the enemy's done over the past, I mean, let's just go back 5 years here, prior to COVID. And then COVID hit. Toilet paper made the front page. How does that happen? Why do I care? I guess you care if you don't have toilet paper. And all of a sudden we're hoarding toilet paper? Are you kidding me? Because we need to focus down here. You know what? Eggs are expensive now. Do you really want those eggs? You know, gas. You know, the prices are going up. You know what? Don't give to the church. Don't give to the storehouse. You need to keep that money back for yourself. And we worship the Lord in our giving, in our singing, in our lives. All of this is about worshiping him. And the enemy's coming to go, don't, please, don't look. Look at this. This is more appealing over here. You know, there's a quote that I wrote down that says, true worshipers are not conscious of worship so much as they are of God and his presence. This is just a tool. The guitars, the singing, the keyboard, the drum, it's just a tool. Because we want to see the Lord high and lifted up. I want to be prepared when I come in. And all of a sudden, like I said, Isaiah experiences the seraphim flying around, and he says, I shouldn't even be here. I'm undone. And you know what? There's not a one of us that are undone. I live amongst the people who are undone. It's interesting in verse 5 that he says, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Do you remember who had to call out unclean, unclean? It was lepers. Isaiah's going, I've got leprous. He just watched his king die of leprosy. I've got leprous lips. And I live amongst the people of leprous lips. And the Lord goes, I can take care of this. And we see. Because how does this man of all the people in Jerusalem, the prophet, say, I'm undone, I'm unclean. You know what? I think he heard the seraphim cry out holy in a way that he's never heard it said like that. I think, boom, it snapped him to go, oh my gosh, Lord, you're holy. You're holy in this situation, and Lord, you're holy in this situation, and Lord, you're holy in this situation. Church, I want to challenge you. This awe-ness of God, knowing what God does, we don't worship a fairy tale. This isn't, man, this just come, let us make you feel good. We're not life coaches. We're not these pixie pastors that go, you know, it's all about making you feel good. You know, I was reading to my wife this week. There were two articles that came out about the importance of coming to church. This is not in my notes, but this just like wham. So one of the things COVID did is we've got this technology now. We had technology prior. But you know what? Now we can stream the services, and we did. We streamed the services so that you didn't miss the gospel being preached. That was a great advantage. But you know what happened? Some of you don't come back. I had a guy say to me when we were able to start meeting again, he goes, you know, I kind of liked it sitting on my couch and in my jammies, having a cup of coffee. Yeah. You know, I kind of liked it that I just had to have a nice shirt on and sit at the table and give the message, and I could be in my underwear. Not that I want to give you that picture right now, but you know what I'm saying? But doesn't the scripture, doesn't Hebrews tell us to not neglect the meeting together? Doesn't the scripture speak to us about the bride, that we're the bride of Christ? You tell me, who's got a marriage that streams with their spouse? Not one. But we'll do that here. We'll do that. And I don't, sorry if you get upset, those of you that are watching. But again, I know there's times you're sick, you're out of town, whatever, I get it. But let's face it, some are just lazy. And you need to come back. Because this is your family. And I wouldn't stream in for Christmas or Thanksgiving or anything else with my wife, with my children, with my grandkids. I wouldn't do that if I could make it happen where I can be there. That's free. I'm not charging you for that one today. But seriously, you guys, do you see how easy it is for us to just get taken off? If we don't teach the truth, if we don't proclaim what the scripture says, shame on us. Shame on us. And so here we've got this picture of worship here in the Old Testament. Let me give you a picture of this in the New Testament. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul, oh my gosh, what an example. What an example. But he's writing to young Timothy. He's discipling Timothy. He's discipling him on what he's going to face as he continues to walk with the Lord. This is not going to be easy. So, we get to verse 12 in chapter 1, 1 Timothy. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful. Who counted me faithful? The Lord counted me faithful. putting me in the ministry. That's all of us. That's you. That's me. He's given us a ministry. He's equipped us. Now he's going to give his resume of all his past sins. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I didn't know. I thought this is the way you were supposed to live. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, of whom I'm the worst. I remember hearing that for the first time, and it dropped me to my knees. I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, that's me. That's me. See, some of us get guilty. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And you know what some do? I wasn't really dead. Y'all see The Princess Bride before? Remember when he's not completely dead, he's mostly dead. Some of you think you were mostly dead, but I was still alive. No, you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. He made you alive. He did that. That's where Paul is at here. He called me to do this. He's faithful. It was his grace. It was his love. I was the worst of the worst. And we can all go, no, I was. Because if the Lord hadn't saved me, I don't know where I would be today. Not in a good place. However, this is verse 16. For this reason, I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. You know why he saved us? To use this as an example. I went to my high school reunion, and they're like, you're doing what? You're pastoring? Now, I went to a small Catholic school, and all of us, probably as we were in school, there was that one person that was really loud, that just, like, there was no filter, that just spoke out. Well, our person, her name was Patty Boland. I still remember her. And so, as people were walking into the high school, our high school reunion, she's like, you gotta come over here. Do you know what Lonnie's doing? Do you know? Take a guess. You'll never guess what he's doing right now. Take a wild guess. And one guy goes, what are you, a hitman? What are you? He's a pastor. Can you believe that? He's a pastor. My friend from high school, John, goes, you're what? Do they know what? Do they? How in the world? Because there's a God. This had nothing to do with me. Your salvation had everything to do with God. We can't then go and form and create our own Christianity. Like this Mr. Potato Head Christianity. I think I'll have him wear a hat today. No, let's do this. I don't like this portion of Scripture. Can we just ignore this part? Isaiah was being brought back to, oh my gosh, holy, you're holy. And as you get closer to the Lord, something changes. You begin to understand things differently. And in Isaiah's case, he hears things differently. Now, here's what's awesome with what happens with Paul. Paul jumps into this praise at the end here in verse 17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and what? Glory. Forever and ever. Amen. Man, let me give you my testimony, but let me tell you, to the King eternal, to the King immortal, he is amazing. I'm in awe. So when it comes down to the Lord bringing forgiveness, not based on what you've done, not based on who you are, you are now, Isaiah is now fit to speak for the King. Whom shall I send? Now, let me see. Let me go through our files here to see who's got the gift. See, a lot of times, people will come and go, you know what, I'm really gifted at this. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the ones that come to go, I want to serve. Where can I serve? Because I don't care where your gifting's at. You know what we need? We need somebody to clean the bathrooms. Can you do that? Oh, well, no, but I know somebody that can do that. You see what I'm saying? That it's like we put these limits going, I don't do that stuff. I don't do that. No, Isaiah is going, you send me any place, Lord. You do whatever you want to do. I'm here to serve. Send me. Send me. Church, you may have come in because God takes us the way that we are. But he doesn't want you to leave the same way that you came in. We've had the opportunity. This is God breathed. You know what that means? That means that every writer here was a stenographer. They had to write exactly what the Lord spoke. This wasn't, I think I'm going to write, you know, that's a good point, Lord, but I've got better language for that. No. It's God's word. It's God's word. And I'm telling you, church, he's doing things right now that's going to shake our world. Because we're going to go, why are you doing that? I am ecstatic that it's college age kids. But you know what my prayer is? That you do something with what takes place. Now your worship is going to be different. Because the Lord has touched your lips. Let the Lord do that. Receive that forgiveness. So we go out to say, send me. Amen?